that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hello and welcome to the In the Pen podcast, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. I'm Nate Kosher, filling in for Jake Crumpler this week, and we are excited to have a great episode lined up. We have a special guest with us tonight, and that is Doug Dennis. He is a writer for Baseball HQ. So, Doug, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit what you do over at Baseball HQ.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I write a weekly bullpen column for Baseball HQ. I've been doing that for almost 25 years now, so I've been around a long time. Sometimes maybe people think too long. I don't know, but glad to be here.
Well, thank you. And then, of course, we have Rick Graham, who is regularly on the pod. Rick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Nate, for having, taken Jake's place tonight. He's a little under the weather, so appreciate you stepping in here. It's a lot of bullpen news, of course, as we lead up to opening day in 1 week from now.
Yes, definitely an exciting time, and of course we actually do have some games in the books, official record books, and that's the Dodgers and Padres. I don't know if you guys are early morning risers. Do you have a chance to watch any of the action yet?
I was able to see a little bit at the end of the last, the past two games. I got into work at about 8 a.m. Eastern time, and then I, put the game on my phone as I was getting coffee and whatnot. So it was actually kind of enjoyable. But I'm looking forward to actually, normal time baseball games, seeing, a full game, here.
I agree. Yeah, it's kind of weird having these two games this week before everything else. Right. Doug, any key takeaways from the first few games as far as the bullpen usage goes? Anything notice? Anything surprising?
I mean, I always feel like pitchers are a little behind, this time of season. So I wasn't too surprised, but really by today's result, which was just a complete slugfest. And anyone who got in the game, is holding on for dear life. And, yes. You don't want to walk players. I mean, I just think that, and it's particularly true with relievers, this time of year, they just don't have their command exactly right, and it takes a little bit of time. So I thought it was, it was interesting. I was happy to see each closer convert their save. That was nice. You're happy to see that. But there were some guys who got absolutely clobbered, and I thought the usage, I'll tell you the thing that stuck out to me the most, really a couple of things. One was the usage of Yuki Matsui. I think they used him very much as a high leverage reliever. He's going to be a big setup guy for them. And if you're, if people got him hoping for saves, you know, that, I don't know about that, at least in the early going. And then the other thing that I thought was really interesting is there was a Jeremiah Estrada sighting. You know, that was kind of exciting for me because I was a big proponent of him when he was with the Cubs last year, and he just fell on his face, couldn't get any strikes, kept walking guys. And so having him come, you know, come back and make a team this year was exciting for me.
Yeah. So today they, you know, obviously a lot of offense. San Diego had to try out a lot of different arms. But you mentioned Matsui. So right now, going in, you know, coming off of last season, it seemed like Suarez was going to be the guy. We expected Josh Hader was going to leave in free agency, but then obviously the Padres add people, but it was still Suarez who got the nod. So, I guess you're happy if you've drafted him hoping for saves.
Yeah, I think that's the one of the biggest takeaways. Yeah, is that, you know, Robert Suarez is the closer here. Matsui's still going to play a big role. He's going to, you know, be the guy they call on to get lefties out. And you see a lot of these teams in that division, especially the Dodgers, they have, you know, a lot of good lefties. So Matsui's going to play a big part. But yeah, it's Suarez's role, and he looked good today too. I mean, he lit up the single. That, you know, made the game a little bit interesting there heading into the top of the ninth before Machado hit a 3-run home run. But, I think Suarez looked good for the most part today.
And then yesterday, I believe Evan Phillips closed it out for the Dodgers. So not really unexpected there, but he still was able to shut the door.
Yeah, just confirmation, you know, he's gonna be the closer there. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how many saves he gets to and what the role, because I don't think Dave Roberts is gonna, I don't think he's gonna have a strict, you know, hold on the closer role with how Roberts is, you know, talked in the past. But I do think he's, you know, 25 saves this year, maybe more. We'll see. But yeah, he looked good as well, and clearly the front runner for saves there.
Well, the Dodgers have a lot of arms. They could try it out for saves. So yeah, we'll have to see what happens. Obviously, it's super early in the season and many more games to go. But we're going to jump into some news and injuries here first. So I want to talk about the Blake Snell signing. What was your thoughts on that? And Doug, I'll go to you first. How do you think that shakes everything out in San Francisco?
Well, obviously, it's a huge signing, and it really helps their rotation. I think that San Francisco, you know, really kind of takes a little leap forward in how they are able to deploy pitchers. They got more flexibility out of it. And, you know, the real thing at this point in time, though, is not to take too much from it, because it's going to take him a little time to get ramped up and get ready to play. But, you know, once he does that, then, they'll have seen some of their other pitchers and be able to figure out what roles they want people to have. So I do think that it may change some roles for players on that team, but we don't know what that's going to look like until Snell's ready.
Yeah, so Jordan Hicks is a guy that's interesting, because sound like the Giants were comfortable using him as a starter. He's perhaps still penciling as a starter now, but the question is, could they use him differently as the season progresses? You know, move him back into that relief role that he was in for a lot of his time with St. Louis. He's probably the one that gets the biggest role change here.
Yeah, I think because they have Cobb coming back, and, you know, he's already pitching, which is kind of remarkable, but Cobb should be back at some point, probably in the first half. Robbie Ray back around midseason, so that's, you know, two starters that enter the rotation. So yeah, with Snell now, and as long as Kyle Harrison is able to stick in the rotation and pitch well, I'd imagine maybe we see Hicks back into the bullpen the second half of the year. Which is probably might have been the plan all along, because I don't know what his pitch or his innings were going to be this year, you know, after he, you know, was only used out of the bullpen last year. So he wasn't going to be going 150 plus innings probably anyway.
True.
But yeah, I think the Snell signing probably does confirm that Hicks will have some sort of, you know, bullpen usage later on in the year.
Yeah, I do think obviously a big get for the Giants, and in a tough NL West, they could probably use all the help they could get. The aforementioned Dodgers and Padres, and then the Diamondbacks coming off their surprise run last year. We'll see what they can do.
For sure.
Next, so guys, it's been a hard time to be a pitcher. These injuries are getting out of control. So we're going to try to run through the injuries here. Many closers that you probably have drafted or have had your eye on are injured or coming back from injury. A lot of big names. So let's start actually in Toronto. So what's the latest on Jordan Romano? His elbow. Rick, are you worried about this if you're a Jordan Romano owner?
Yeah, I mean, it's an elbow injury. So even if it's mild, as they're saying it is, it's still concerning. Hopefully it's just all precautionary. It sounds like he's hoping to, you know, play catch at some point this weekend. As long as he starts throwing again, like, you know, this quickly, I feel like that's a good sign. And I would not, you know, I'll drop him a little bit in the list, but I don't think it's anything. It's different from the Duran and Devin Williams injuries obviously are a lot more concerning for the length of time they're going to be out. So I think if Romano only misses, you know, the first week of the season, I think that's best case scenario right now. But it does sound like there's a chance that's what happens. So I'm not, you know, I'm concerned, but not, you know, raising alarm bells right now. I think he's still okay to be drafted where he's going, maybe a little bit later.
And the person that would probably be the most likely candidate to get those saves would be Eric Swanson, or he'd be right there. He's Romano's setup man. He has a forearm injury, but he was able to play catch today. Doug, what are your thoughts on if Romano's hurt and or Swanson is hurt, where are the Jays going to go for the save chances?
Yeah, so let me just start with, I think Swanson is going to be okay. I just think he's going to be behind. Mm-hmm. And so by the time, you know, the idea being that by the time Romano comes back, Swanson's ready, but, you know, Romano will be back. You know, best case scenario. The two guys, obviously, are Yimi Garcia and Chad Green. I think that between the two of them, I mean, Chad Green, he's missed 2 years in a row. He had a pretty decent enough spring, and his projections look okay. But I think they're probably more comfortable with Yimi Garcia. And I think that, you know, on opening day, if they have a save chance, Yimi Garcia is going to be the guy to get it.
Yeah, and Chad Green, you know, he had some nice years a while ago, though. It's been a while, you know, with those injuries. And they also have a Nate Pearson, who I think had a save chance or two toward the end of last season. But I'm not sure. I thought I read in the news, was he sent to the minors?
Pearson. Like Pearson's going to make the opening day roster now with these injuries.
He is. Yeah, okay.
There's another name. Yeah, I mean, he's got closer stuff for sure. It's just been, you know, a command issue with him. So, yeah, I agree with Doug, though. I think Yimi's the guy. And it's probably, you know, someone you have to go add in every league. But if you're able to stream a reliever for the first week, you know, Garcia might make some sense because he's likely to get the saves if Romano is not ready.
Sure. And the Blue Jays, hypothetically, a good enough team for some wins and save chances. So something to take a look at. Okay, you mentioned Devin Williams and Joanne Duran with the Twins. That is one that's interesting, an oblique strain. So not an arm or shoulder or elbow injury. Still concerning, though, with the way he throws and his just overpowering stuff. I would imagine an oblique strain could still be an issue. So he's going to be on the 15-day list as we begin the season. I think you're looking at Griffin Jacks there to pick up the save opportunities. But I know that in the past, the Twins, I live here in Minnesota, so I sort of follow the Twins. They're reluctant to ever say Duran is the closer, even though he probably is the best stuff out of anyone in the whole major leagues, arguably. They just really haven't turned it over to him officially, even though he's the number one. So if you're a Twins fan, are you worried about Duran? And then who would you be adding out of that bullpen?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a moderate oblique strain too. So, you know, the typical time for a mild oblique strain is a month. A moderate one could be up to two months. So, you know, if Duran's not ready to go, you know, for the whole, you know, the first month or month and a half of the season, then yeah, that's a, you know, significant injury and something that is actionable. And I think Griffin Jacks is probably the first option there. But there's been a lot of talk about Brock Stewart as well, who Stewart might have the better, you know, the more closer-esque stuff of the two. But and like you said, I mean, this is Rocco Baldelli coming from, you know, he's got that Rays background. So maybe they don't even name someone as the interim closer. Maybe they just, you know, split the role up between Jax, you know, Stewart and some other people. So I still think Jax is the top option here to roster. And, you know, don't go dropping anyone big, you know, any big names on your roster or throwing a lot of, you know, fab money on him this early. But oblique strains can be tricky. So, I mean, it's not even a guarantee that Duran's back in May.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It hopefully it doesn't linger, but it seems like it's an injury that could. So we'll have to look at that as we move along. Next here we have Dory Moretta. He underwent surgery to repair his torn UCL. He's going to be out for the season and some additional time. Thoughts on that and how that plays out?
Well, I mean, Dory Moretta is a very good reliever, but losing him hurts the Pirates obviously a great deal. They did pick up Chapman during the offseason. You know, they have Holderman still, and, you know, they have Bednar. So it's not like they don't have guys, but I think Moretta was going to be a big part of that bullpen, and they will miss him.
Yeah, I would say if you play in a holds league, it could be a bigger loss because he's probably, as you said, setting up Bednar. I think it opens the door for Chapman to have a bigger role. And probably just based on his history, you know, he is probably one of the best closers of all time. He's still hanging around, still throws really fast. Command can be an issue, but he's probably someone to keep an eye on if you're looking to add to your bullpen.
Yeah, I think, you know, between Chapman, I mean, Chapman right now, even, you know, when we're going to talk about Pittsburgh a little bit later, but, you know, Bednar is a little banged up right now. And, you know, Chapman's already a decent, you know, flyer in save only leagues just because, you know, we're not 100% sure Bednar is going to be healthy. It looks like he will be. But, yeah, in holds leagues, you know, Moretta's loss. It's all, you know, Colin Holderman, again, he was a holds guy last year. He gets a little bit of a tick up because of Moretta's injury. And even like Ryan Borecki is a kind of an interesting name there too. But yeah, Moretta, he was, you know, he's always been an interesting reliever to follow. So this is, this hurts, you know, him being out for the next 2 years, realistically.
Yeah, basically that's what it will be. All right. So Matt Brash, he threw a bullpen session on Wednesday and could find his way back into the Mariners bullpen in April, and Gregory Santos set for an MRI to see when he's going to be able to start throwing again. So the Mariners bullpen sort of in flux with some injuries. What are you guys thinking about, Doug? Let's go to you. Who are the names to follow there in Seattle?
Well, obviously first and foremost is Andrés Muñoz, who's, you know, for all intents and purposes, the closer, one of the best skill sets in baseball. I mean, I love Matt Brash. He's a good, very strong skill set as well. The results last year didn't bear it out. He kind of was up and down from a result standpoint, but the skill set was steady all the way through. I think that him being a little slower, a little behind, you might see some of that where he's walking guys early, you know, as he tries to catch up. But you know, that skill set is elite. And so, you know, I really still like Matt Brash. I think I need to see him actually in game, you know, having some success though before I get to, you know, I mean, the timing part is just hard to gauge. And then, you know, I think they really were counting on Santos. So I think that's up in the air and that's a problem for them. They're going to have to count more on guys like Taylor Sauceda, you know, some of these kind of guys. And I don't think they really want to. So I think they're thinner in the bullpen than they thought they were going to be. And, you know, Munoz is always like a pitch away from, you know, going on the injured list too. So it's a worry, I think, for Seattle.
Yeah, they're almost they're close to having Ryan Stanek being their closer. I mean, one Munoz, you know, injury away. So, yeah, it's definitely concerning. And that's a good point with Brash. I mean, Brash is already a guy who doesn't have the best command anyway. So, not being able to appear in games, he's gonna probably look a little rusty when he returns. And then Santos, we don't really know yet. Let's still wait and see when he can return. So the Mariners bullpen could be a little rough in the early goings here.
Well, let's stay in the AL West, and someone I am concerned about because someone I drafted in a dynasty league, Robert Stevenson. So he did play catch today as he works his way back from that shoulder fatigue. But I was thinking, I'd like to get your guys' take on this, but I was thinking he would take over from Estevez within maybe a few weeks into the season even. I think Estevez earned the right to be closer based on he had a great first half of the season last year. Stevenson, though, I was aiming to pick up because I think he will be the eventual closer, but I'm a little worried about the shoulder fatigue. So I'll ask both you, Rick, first. What do you think? Let's say Stevenson is healthy. How long would it be? Do you think he will take over the closer role, and when would that occur?
Yeah, I still, you know, again, assuming he's healthy, I still think at some point in May, we might see a change there. It doesn't sound like Stevenson's going to be ready for opening day, but if he's, you know, he's back to throwing again, as long as there's no setbacks, I imagine mid to late April he can be back. The thing is, I mean, Estevez has only pitched, I think he hasn't pitched a ton this spring. I haven't really been able to see how he's looked. I think Stevenson right now, if you're in a league that has IL spots, like, you know, a good amount of IL spots or at least a few, I still like just, you know, stashing Stevenson at the beginning of the year and seeing where things go. But it is concerning that he's already dealing with a shoulder injury in March. So it's tough to recommend him or like to say to draft him right now. But, you know, if you can stash him on your IL, I think it's worth it at this point.
Doug, would you take a flyer on Robert Stevenson?
Gosh, I mean, I guess so. I'm probably one of the lowest people on Stevenson, but that's because I think he's had a pretty long history of being terrible. And then suddenly the Rays get a hold of him and he's like Superman for, you know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's only a few weeks. And, you know, this injury worries me. Like, you know, his mechanics have to be right. You know, he has to be like he was for those 3 weeks. And I don't know that I would count on that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not, when we say he's like taking a flyer, yes, I would take a flyer, but people were paying up for Stevenson because they're looking at Carlos Estevez and says, that guy's not very good. It shouldn't be that hard to take his job. And, you know, I just don't think all those ducks are in a row right now, the way that they were during the off season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it seemed like he was going to have a great chance to get a lot of saves. I'm still a little bit worried about the shoulder fatigue, but yeah, I drafted him before the injury and I've sort of been monitoring it, but it's a big league, so the talent pool sort of runs thin. But before we get into a little bit more news and preview of the NL bullpen situation, we are going to take a short break here on In the Pen.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new Day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Okay. Welcome back, everyone. A couple last notes here with the injuries still again in the AL West. Jose Leclerc was named the opening day closer for the Rangers. So there was a lot of speculation how that was going to shake out in Texas. What are your thoughts on Leclerc? He's not really someone I'm that excited about. Doug, do you like Leclerc? What are your thoughts?
I feel like Leclerc's one of these guys that every time they're like, oh, he's the closer, it doesn't work out after a couple weeks and he doesn't close the rest of the year. And then when you think he's done, then he resurrects himself and he gets like 25 saves. I mean, I always feel like I'm on the wrong side of the coin with him, but they got a lot of relievers that are similarly, you know, that have similar skill sets, maybe not the exact same pitch mix and things like that, but, you know, they kind of come across with the same, you know, strikeout rate and, you know, and so on. So I think they have options. I would say that he's the closer for now, and we'll just have to wait and see how he does. But, I don't hate him, but I always seem to get it wrong with him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking the same thing. It's like, maybe don't name him the opening day closer because he really does seem to struggle in the first like month of the season, and then he always seems to figure it out. So maybe just like ease him into it. I don't know. I know they trusted him towards the end of last year, and he did turn things around last year. But it is weird. Like every start of the season, I get like a little excited about Leclerc, and then he just proves me wrong in April, and I'm like, okay, I'm back out on him, and then he usually turns things around in the second half. So hopefully he gets off to a good start this year. His price was pretty reasonable for people who were able to draft him, you know, early, congrats. Hopefully that pays off for you because, you know, he's, you know, the talent's there. It's just the consistency with him.
Yeah, exactly. The consistency is the question. So if you were to handcuff him, would Robertson be the one you're looking at, David Robertson?
probably Robertson. I do like Josh Boris a lot. I don't know. He's probably more the third option right now. I think Robertson, given his, you know, veteran status and his closer experience, is probably the top handcuff there for now, though.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is our injury news and speculation. Next, we're going to move into the National League bullpen preview. So we're going to sort of run through each division, talk about the situation and what is the main concern or injury that each team is facing. So let's start in the AL East with the Atlanta Braves. And the question we're going to pose here, is this the best, deepest bullpen in baseball? Rick, you first. What do you think of Atlanta's bullpen this year?
I liked it a little bit better when Ronaldo Lopez was also in here. And he might end up working himself back into this, into the bullpen. We'll see how he turns out as a starter, because we've seen that story before and it hasn't worked out for him. So
yes, they have officially said that, though, right? He is going to be a starter.
He's the first man getting the first crack at the fifth man in that rotation. So the fifth spot. So yeah, I mean, between though Iglesias, Minter, Jimenez, Pierce Johnson, Tyler Matzek looks really good this spring. It's good to see him back. You know, Aaron Bummer, they got three really good lefties in Matzek, Bummer, and Lee. It might be the deepest bullpen in baseball right now. They've spent a lot of money, too, to keep, like, Jimenez and Pierce Johnson. And, you know, Bummer's making a decent amount of money here as well. So, you know, they're really deep. Again, I'd like to see Reynaldo Lopez. I think that makes them probably – I think I would definitely make them the top bullpen in baseball, but – as it stands now, it's an exciting. I mean, this is a Braves team that really doesn't have many flaws. Between the rotation, bullpen, and lineup.
Yes, agreed. And last year, you know, AJ Minter was sort of thrust in that closer role, and I think he struggled a bit more than would be expected based on his prior work as a setup, you know, arm. Mm-hmm. But I think he's probably better suited there, and I would expect he'll be back to normal this year. The Braves, I mean, they have to be in the top 3 to 5 teams to beat. They're, you know, they have World Series aspirations, so their bullpen looks like it could back that up. All right, so Miami. Let's move to the Marlins next. So right now, Tanner Scott would be the presumptive closer. However, a little walk issue for him this spring. 7 walks and just 3.2 innings pitched. Doug, are you worried with Scott's command? And if he were to struggle, who would you be moving to next if you're looking at the Marlins?
Yeah, I mean, Scott, I'm always worried about the command. I mean, the command comes and goes. When he's on, he's untouchable. When he's not on, it's, you know, it's not a waltz. I mean, it's difficult. And so, and this time of year, I mean, I think a lot of relievers kind of go through this where they aren't quite on the command that they want. So do I think that it's possible that Scott will struggle a little to start the year? Yeah, I do think it's possible. I still like this arm. I mean, he's electric. He's good. And I'm not going to overreact. If I drafted Scott, I'm not suddenly going to dump him and try and find something else that's better. I think I'd just kind of ride it out. But yeah, it's possible that this isn't going to, it's going to be a bumpy start to the year. I think that it's also interesting. They had 3 really top elite lefties last year in the bullpen. They also have, they still obviously have them both, all 3. But Nardi, you know, was kind of the guy who was very steady. He kind of had a crappy spring too. And that's kind of unusual to me. He's not nearly as his command isn't as shaky as Scott's. His stuff isn't as electric as Scott's, but you know, his spring was equally bad as far as I'm concerned. That was a little odd to me. And of course, AJ Puck's had an amazing spring, but he's going to be in the rotation. So he's not available in the pen anymore. So it's not the pen that it was, you know, this time last year. The one guy that has impressed me, though, is right-hander Anthony Bender. I think he's had a great spring. He was good before he got hurt before. I think that I'm kind of adding his name, you know, in pencil as somebody who could emerge. I wouldn't say he has emerged. I would still say it's Scott. But, you know, Scott has a really rough April and they're casting around and Bender's out there throwing zeros. It wouldn't surprise me greatly if the scenario is that he gets the next shot. And so I guess that's my take on it. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis there. I also want to see how Sixto Sanchez fits in here.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was looking at that name and I think he's probably done getting his chances to start, but he had some talent. And I remember in one of my fantasy leagues one year, I kind of had my eye on him, but now it looks like he's moving to the bullpen.
Yeah. It makes sense. He's dealt with so many injuries. So, you know, let's see what he can do for a season out of the bullpen. As far as Scott goes, it was a really rough start to spring, but he has not allowed a walk in his past three outings, so that's a good sign. Hopefully, you know, he's over those first couple outing hiccups or whatnot. So, yeah, between Scott and, yeah, Bender, I love Bender before he got hurt. It's great to see him looking like his old self this spring. That could give them, I mean, that's that top three of Scott and Nardi and Bender. If those guys are all right, that's a really good, really good bullpen there. And hopefully there's a lot of saves and hopefully Yuri Perez is able to, be in that rotation. So they get some wins and saves. Yeah.
A lot of fun. Hopefully he is healthy because he's a great pitcher and fun to watch. All right. Someone who took the baseball world by storm in the 2022 season, Edwin Diaz in New York. Hopefully he's back. I think as baseball fans, we're all rooting for him to be back and healthy. But any concerns with him coming back off of that injury? Is he still clear-cut number one? I think, once again, this is a good bullpen that the Mets have, but I don't think you're quite as excited having Diaz as you did 2 years ago.
Yeah, it might not be as exciting, but I do, especially with all the injuries, Devin Williams being down, Joanne Duran being down, I do think Diaz right now is my number one. I don't think there's too many guys that have the same upside as him. You can make a case for Hader, I suppose, but I think Diaz is the number one guy right now, and it's been a little bit of a slow spring for him, but when he has pitched, he's looked good. I don't really have too many concerns for him coming back. I mean, he almost came back at the end of last year, so I'm not too concerned. The workload, probably have to monitor the workload in the first, month or two. Don't want to rush him, push him too hard here in the early going, but I still think he's the top closer option right now. I kind of have him in his own tier because of the strikeout upside he has and the ability to, be a four category stud, really.
And yeah, it's interesting. He could literally be the best reliever in baseball in 2024 and still not be as good as he was in 2022, which is
a great point. Yeah. I mean, he was historically good and he did pitch on back-to-back days. Today he accomplished that. Sounds like everything went well, and Carlos Mendoza said he'll make one more appearance before opening day. So it sounds like he's on track, and I do agree there's probably some risk there, but a high reward also if he can be close to what he was 2 years ago.
For sure. Yeah, I still say if I'm taking a closer, really early, it's going to be Diaz or no one else, really.
So next, let's move to Philly, and this is probably one of the messiest situations and hardest to gauge the Phillies' bullpen. They have probably four different guys that you could look at for saves, potential save chances. Right now, Alvarado at the top of that list, but what are you thinking as far as the roles for each of these major guys and will they trot out Alvarado all season? Doug, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Alvarado is an elite skill set as a lefty, and I could see him handling the role. As far as him holding it all season, I mean, I don't think he's ever done something like that, maybe way early in his career with Tampa. But I think Philly's tried him a few times, and he ends up on the injured list, and then, they get another guy. So, for now, fine. But, they have some talented guys in that bullpen. I think a lot of people are capable of closing in that bullpen. The guy that I really love, Orion Kerkering, is out. So, he's not going to get off to the fast start that I might have hoped. And we just have to see what happens with him. But I think Hoffman, proved capable last year. I think Soto has moments where he's capable. This is interesting. I don't like Dominguez. I do not think he's a guy who's going to get saves for Philadelphia. Or if he does, say they had a bus crash or something. I mean, I just don't see him being that guy. Matt Strom's a good multiple inning guy. He could fall into vulturing a few saves by, going two or three innings a time or two, but not on purpose,
Sure.
But for now, yeah, I mean, I'm in on Alvarado. I think his skill set is outstanding. And, and until he goes on the IL, which he seems to do every year, he'll be fine.
And I guess Kimbrel is out of town, so that is one less log in the log jam that they had last season.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, like Doug said, it's Alvarado and his health. As long as he's healthy, I think he'll get the bulk of the save opportunities. Maybe if you see, if they're going up against a team that's got three righties coming up in the ninth, maybe they move to Hoffman or... Yeah, Dominguez, I'm with you on Sir Anthony. I was, he was not good last year, and there wasn't even a point last year where it was like it looked like he was turning a corner. Really, he really kind of took a step back last season. I don't see them having any faith. I might be wrong, but I'd be shocked if they had any faith in him, in high leverage spots right off the bat here. So, yeah, I think it's between Alvarado, Hoffman, and Soto. I think Soto looked really, I wasn't a big fan of him when he was in Detroit. I think, Philadelphia kind of did some things with him last year, and he's a lot more interesting to me. I think that's a sneaky name that's getting overlooked there. So, yeah, that's the big three for me, Alvarado, Hoffman, and Soto. And, yeah, Kerkering, once he gets, healthy, he's still trying to recover from the flu. It's been kind of, crushing him a little bit. So hopefully he's ready to go in April as well. That's another very exciting arm they have.
Yeah, he was good last year.
Yeah, in the playoffs, he looked amazing. That's he had a couple, rough outings, but the stuff it's evident. He's going to be a closer probably one day.
All right. To round out the NL East, we move to Washington. And this is another, in my head at least, sort of a angel situation here where we're looking at two guys to become the closer or remain the closer, and that's Kyle Finnegan and Hunter Harvey. At this point, is Kyle Finnegan number one, Rick?
I think so. So the only thing is that he's dealing with a back problem. Again, it's a small minor injury, but he missed about a week. He did return to game action today. Wasn't great, but as long as he came out of it healthy, that's a plus, I guess. It's one of those situations where I still like Harvey the best. It's interesting. Finnegan added a sweeper this offseason. It's definitely a pitch that he needed because he was, really a fastball splitter option, guy last year. So I think Finnegan gets the first crack just based on him, finishing the year as closer, but I think Harvey is going to take over that role at some point. And then, who knows if Tanner Rainey can figure things out, because that was a guy that was very exciting a few years ago. So, yeah, it's kind of a mess there. If it's a situation I mostly avoided, if I was able to get, Harvey really late, that's fine. I'll take a chance there. But again, mostly kind of staying away from this.
Doug, would you agree Harvey is the one to watch?
Well, I mean, Harvey is a much has much better skills than Finnegan. I mean, Finnegan is not a good strikeouts to walks guy at all. But he's relatively consistent in his mediocrity. I mean, he doesn't get hurt. He doesn't screw up. You know, he just sort of is mediocre and kind of piffles through. He actually had a really good spring. I mean, in a kind of a crazily good spring. He actually had 9 strikeouts to one walk and 4.2 innings. I mean, who cares about 4.2 innings? But I wasn't expecting that from Kyle Finnegan at all. So that was kind of weird. And that probably gives, you know, makes it easier for the manager to say, yeah, we'll let Finnegan start the year as the closer. But, you know, how long will it take for Harvey to take over from Finnegan? I wouldn't even blink if I were in charge of that team. I would make it Harvey day one.
Yeah.
Harvey's another guy who seems to get hurt every single year though. Yeah. So his timing is such that he'll be there to throw in zeros, set up. And oh, you're finally the closer. Go up the first time you're out there trying to get a save and get hurt. I mean, that's what I always think of when I think of Hunter Harvey. He gets like 1 or 2 saves and then he's done for a month. And, you know, I don't know why that keeps happening to him, but he's an elite. I mean, I guess probably because the way he spins the ball or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Finnegan, surprisingly, I'm just looking at his stat line up. He had 28 saves last season.
He did.
So that's nothing to sneeze at. And I guess, like you said, he's consistent in his middle of the roadness. He just keeps getting trot out there. So we'll see what happens. I would agree Harvey is the one to look at. Another name, Dylan Floro, that's interesting. He had some save chances last year in Miami, I know, but I wouldn't expect him to rise to the top of the list.
Yeah, he's a little bit more on the back burner now, but he does have, you know, closer history and some saves under his belt. So, yeah, definitely a name to store in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I actually wrote an article last year about Floro saying, here's like 50 relievers I would take before I took Floro. Just so you know. I mean, I'm not a Floro at all.
So he's 51st if we're – down the list.
Well, I just got tired. I probably could have added to it.
It does not have swing and stop. Yeah, it's very pedestrian.
Well, that rounds out the NL East, and we're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll move to the NL Central. But first, a break here on In the Pen.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today
and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, welcome back to In the Pen, a proud Pitcherless Podcast Network show. We are here talking NL bullpen previews, and we just finished up the NL East. Now we're going to move to the NL Central, and let's kick it off with Chicago, the Chicago Cubs. Rick, this is another team that tends to have a lot of different guys get saves and save chances. Who are you looking at the end of the season? Who will have the most saves here?
You know, even before the kind of announcement that they're not going to name a closer, when they signed Hector Neris, that kind of was an interest. I thought that might be, you know, raise some alarm bells there, because, you know, this is a guy who Neris coming off a huge, you know, unbelievable season last year as far as, you know, ERA and WHIP go. The underlying metrics weren't as you know, favorable there, but Neris is still a closer, you know, closer experience, veteran guy. He could very well be their opening day closer here, with, you know, Alzolay being more of a setup fireman role. Merriweather's another guy who has, you know, obviously probably has the best stuff in this bullpen. But there's, you know, command issues with him, health issues with him, not the most reliable option, maybe the most fun option, but not the most reliable. So I think I do kind of see Neris being, you know, the guy here who leads the team in saves when all is said and done. I don't know, something. The concern I have with Neris is, I mean, that's not the most pitcher friendly ballpark at Wrigley, and Neris does give up a lot of home runs. That's been his thing throughout his career, so that could be an issue. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with Alzolay. That's the thing too. He didn't strike out a ton of guys last year, but that's not what he does. He still was, you know, great at suppressing hard contact, and, you know, he made things pretty easy when he was closing out games. He didn't, you know, walk anyone. So, I was going to say Neris is the guy who leads the team in saves, but, you know, Alzolay and Merriweather are also, you know, worth shots in deeper leagues if you like late round flyer.
Sure. Yeah, Merriweather, when he was with the Blue Jays, remember he had that run where it seemed like he's going to be,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to be elite, you know, but can't stay healthy. Cincinnati Reds, Doug, I heard a rumor from Rick that you're a Reds fan. Is that true?
That is true.
All right, so I'm going to just turn this over to you. Tell me about the Reds bullpen.
Well, I mean, Alexis Diaz is the closer. He actually has had a horrendous, and I mean, I can't emphasize enough, horrendous spring as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, I mean, we'll see how it plays out when the season gets going. He is the best skill set. He gets used way too often. They've got to figure out a way to not overuse him like they did last year, where he just completely fell apart in the last 6 weeks of the season. They've tried to add to the bullpen. They got Emilio Pagan, who I absolutely cannot believe is going to succeed in the ballpark, you know, which gives up home runs. He doesn't need help giving up home runs. I mean, it's just sort of not my favorite thing. He doesn't walk anybody, so they're solo home runs, but he gives up lots of them. So I don't love that. But I think he's going to be the main setup for Diaz. And, you know, they have Lucas Sims, who has some spotty command issues. One name that I really like is Fernando Cruz, who actually pitched relatively well in middle relief last year. For some reason, the Reds don't seem to like him from a depth chart standpoint, but I do think that he'll emerge as one being one of the better relievers based on his skill set. After that, it's just a gang of thousands. You know, it's like they try guys like Buck Farmer. You can't even believe these guys make the team, but then there they are, you know, in Leverage. You're like, how in the heck Buck Farmer in Leverage, and why are the Reds losing? Oh, but that's why, because Buck Farmer is right there in Leverage. I mean, they have an endless supply of guys like that, and they use them at the most inopportune times. It's frustrating as can be. But the one thing you can count on is whatever Diaz is going to be the closer, and he's pretty locked into that role. You can write it in pen, and you get what you get. But, you know, hopefully he's re-energized from the end of last season. And so far, though, in spring, it doesn't look that way to me.
Well, they just slowed down at the end of the year, but they were having a great season last year. So, as a Reds fan, how are you feeling this year?
Not great. They did have a great season, but they were way outperforming what the Pythagoras would have said they should have done. So I was aware of that. You know, there was a lot of energy around all of these rookies that came up and performed, which how often does that happen? You know, you get one rookie to come up and perform, you feel like you found money, you get like five of them to do it, and you're like, how in the world are they doing this on offense? I mean, they did last year. But, you know, now Noelvi Marte's missing half the season, and Matt McClain's missing half the season.
Yeah, that's,
you know, this season hasn't even started yet. So, you know, yeah, I'm not feeling super great. I think the pitching is scary, honestly. And you know, if the pitching's scary and the hitting isn't that energetic, bunch of young pups who don't know any better, all, you know, scoring 6-7 runs a game. It's not like the division is outstanding. But, you know, you really want to get off on the right foot in that division to keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I felt like they needed to add another starter, starting pitcher. And that could have helped. I think, you know, I think Graham Ashcraft needs to be in the bullpen. I think he could be, he's almost like, I mean, I wanted to say Emmanuel Class A, but I feel like he could be like Class A light as a reliever. So, I don't know. I feel like they're a starter away, and the injuries obviously don't help, but I think there's enough depth there that they can weather the storm the beginning of the year. But yeah, the rotation's going to be interesting.
I mean, it's interesting, the idea of putting Ashcraft in the bullpen. I think he would immediately become their best reliever. But, you know, they really are stubborn about starter starting, and that's where he is.
Yeah.
So, next, let's talk about Devin Williams in Milwaukee. And we had mentioned it before. Arguably, I would say last year, maybe the best closer in baseball. Another guy who's been just electric out of the bullpen, if it's in the closer role or a setup role. So I know Milwaukee's been tossing around a few different names and who's going to take over there. Rick, who do you like and who are you going to pick up?
So I like Trevor McGill. That's the guy I've been getting. That's who I've been going after. It's funny. I think I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure, you know, this past weekend and you know, my NL Tout draft, I think both or all three of McGill, Payamps, and Uribe all went for $5, I think. So, I mean, kind of just shows you that it's, you know, it's kind of up in the air between those three. If I'm I think I have a pretty, you know, between McGill as my top option or Uribe as my second option. I don't think Joel Payamps is that good. You know, he really wasn't good in the second half last year. He's been terrible in the spring. He's an all right middle reliever. I just don't see him closing out games. And this Devin Williams injury is going to be, he's at least out probably till the All-Star game, maybe till the, you know, maybe longer. Maybe he doesn't return to Milwaukee because he's clearly kind of fed up with that organization. And
yeah,
I do think he wants out of there. I don't know what he can do to get out of there, but I think Trevor McGill is the top option for me just because of, you know, what he was able to do last year when he came back in August through September. His last stint there, he turned into a high leverage guy for them, and you know, big fastball, big curveball, you know, 53% whiff rate. He's got the closer stuff more so than Uribe, I think. I know Uribe throws hard too, but Uribe is, you know, great at getting ground balls, getting sinkers. His command is still shoddy. That's my only concern really with him. I think McGill's got a little bit better command of the zone, so I'll go McGill and then Uribe. Payam's kind of like a distant third for me.
Okay.
Doug, what do you think about Milwaukee?
No, I'm right there with you. I've actually got McGill on two of my five teams. I don't have any of the other guys. I agree. I mean, I think he's got the skill set that I want closing games for me if I'm Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee's like the Cubs. They're going to keep it a secret, you know, and not tell you what they're going to do. And I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they start the season with McGill being that highest leverage reliever guy and have Uribe trying to close. But I don't think it lasts very long. I just don't think Uribe is that guy. I mean, he has a good strikeout rate and then, you know, too many walks, too many homers, you know, not my guy. And I do agree that Piamps is not in that class of those other two. So I've been getting McGill and kind of keeping my fingers crossed, see what happens. But and for me, it feels like found money, of course, because I was getting him cheap when Williams wasn't known to be hurt. So I'm kind of happy, you know, and I'm not happy to see Devin Williams get hurt because he's outstanding and I love watching him. I'm happy from a fantasy baseball standpoint to have McGill available to me.
So I feel like we kind of covered the Pirates already. Anything more you guys want to say about Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Bednar, you know, the concerns are a little bit, he's dealing with a lat injury, but he made his spring debut today. He was able to hit, you know, he was sitting at 97 with his fastball. So that eases a lot of concerns, I feel. But still, yeah, I mean, if you want to take a shot on Chapman, potentially, because I still don't know if it's, you know, certain Bednar is going to make the opening day roster. It seems like it's trending that way. But, yeah, outside of, you know, Chapman, it's, you know, none of those names are that. And even Colin Holderman, he had a good start to last year, kind of faded in the second half. He's not, you know, not one of the top options I'm looking for in a holds league. Yeah, the rest of the bullpen, it got thin really quick. There was a point where, you know, when Moretta was healthy and, you know, they had some interesting, you know, Holderman, Chapman, Moretta, Bednar. Okay, that's, you know, something there. But, yeah, it's not as deep as it was looking earlier in the spring.
Yeah, I don't have anybody in mind, but it wouldn't surprise me to see the Pirates convert a starter or two into the bullpen and hope that they can work out, you know, people who are not good starters. So you wouldn't roster them, but, you know, you could see in May if it thins out, you know, for whatever reason any further, that they're going to need somebody down there. And so they may, you know, convert a starter or two. And if they do that, that often ends up being a good source, you know, unforeseen, you know, at this point in the season.
Yeah, I always thought Luis Ortiz would make some sense as a reliever. Maybe even Quinn Priester, too, because he hasn't looked great as a starter.
So that is Pittsburgh, which leaves us with the St. Louis Cardinals. And an interesting name here. I'm going to see if you guys can guess who I'm thinking of. Who is the interesting name that might be a deep cut in the St. Louis Cardinals bullpen if you're looking at save chances?
Well, I mean, there's a couple interesting names here. You know, I like JoJo Romero from last year. I know Andrew Kittredge was a former All-Star.
Okay, there it was. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
He's had a good spring.
Yeah, and in injuries, once again, he's run into some injuries, but that's someone I've kind of been monitoring all spring because he was good with the Rays when healthy.
Yeah, he's kind of he's not, you know, a big strikeout guy, but, you know, does his role. He gets outs, he gets ground balls, limits hard contact, and it's different from what they already have in their bullpens. You know, he's a better Pallante kind of, where, you know, Helsley, Gallegos, and Romero, those guys are going to probably put up some big strikeout numbers, but Kittredge can be the, you know, the guy who just comes in, kind of like Chris Martin, you know, in an ideal scenario where you have, you know, great ratios and probably a bunch of holds. I don't know if he gets a chance to close. There's probably some other names here, but I think Kittredge is an interesting name to keep an eye on for sure.
Doug, I like your comp. I like the comp to Chris Martin. I think that's a great comp. I think he's a guy who's not going to get saves, but is going to be, from a real baseball standpoint, exactly what you need in your pen to win games. So, you know, outstanding pickup for them. And, you know, I think he'll be good. Housley got hurt last year, but that guy is really, really good. And he stays healthy, he's going to surprise some people. And given where he was going in drafts, I actually really like Helsley as a pick this year.
I was in on him as well. Him and like Tanner Scott in that range. And, you know, it's crazy. Helsley has been around for, you know, a few years now, but he's never gotten to 20 plus saves. So I think hoping this is the year Helsley gets 20 saves and hopefully he gets closer to 30.
Yeah, the year before, he didn't start closing until halfway through the year. And then last year, he got hurt. So if he's healthy, you know, he certainly has great stuff. I mean, I could see him really kind of having a breakout year compared to his past. And, you know, not as a Reds fan, I hate to see it. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, if you picked him up, you're gonna have some profit there.
I want to say he had like a sub 2 ERA 2 years ago, once after he took over.
Yeah, he had a... He was an all-star that year, I believe, as well. Before last year, he was, 2022, 1.25 ERA, 0.74 WHIP. So, I mean, stuff's there. The stuff's definitely there. If he's healthy, he's going to be a nice pick for anyone who capitalized on his draft status.
Yeah, it's not impossible that someone in FBC will be picking him in the second round next year. Not impossible.
Right, yeah. Could see it.
So that leaves us with one more division, which is the NL West, home of the teams we were talking about at the beginning of the pod here, the Dodgers, the Padres, a lot of talent here. But let's start with Arizona, who is actually my team. I'm a Diamondbacks fan. And the question we're throwing out here is, Paul Sewald, do we have any concerns after his postseason? And I will say... I was happy when the Diamondbacks made the move because their bullpen has been bad for as long as I can remember. They would just give away games left and right. So getting Sewald from the Mariners was obviously an upgrade, but he is someone that still makes me a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. Although the Diamondbacks did have a lot of arms sort of come out of nowhere during the postseason. So Kevin Ginkle was great for them. Ryan Thompson was kind of resurrected. So I think if Sewald falters, there are a few other arms that could step up. That is my homer take with the D-backs, but interested to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I don't have too many concerns with Sewald. That being said, I do like Kevin Ginkle, and I think Sewald is either a free agent after this year or the next year. Ginkle probably is the next closer there. It's an interesting, you know, definitely in, you know, dynasty leagues and whatnot, name to keep in mind. And in holds leagues, I think Ginkle's going to have a good year.
Yes.
The competition does really drop off after those two. It's, you know, Miguel Castro is very shaky. He's having a terrible spring.
Yeah.
And Scott McGuff had... McGuff had an interesting run last year where I started to buy in, and then it just, the wheels fell off again, and I don't know what to expect from him. There's something interesting there. I just don't know when or if he's going to put it together. Sal Frank's another kind of interesting name, lefty. I don't know what his role, as he's the only left, him and Joe Mantiply are the two lefties. So
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It's really Sewald and Ginkle, and then, you know, the rest is probably not even worth looking at in holds leagues right now.
Doug, you have any thoughts on the young D-backs?
Well, I mean, I completely agree, you know, on that take. I think Sewald is perfectly fine, nice, steady closer, not spectacular. And, you know, moving from Seattle to Arizona is going to, you know, that makes it harder if you're a pitcher. But I think he'll be steady. I could see him being the closer all year. I could see him getting 30 saves. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like you're paying top dollar to get Sewald on your team. So I'm perfectly comfortable and happy if I have Sewald.
Yeah. So maybe he's a guy, if you wait for a closer and kind of miss on those top tiers, he could still be there and be serviceable for your fantasy squad. How about a team that might not be serviceable for your fantasy squad? That's Colorado. Anyone in that bullpen you even want to look at? Who's going to get the most saves here? And is it even relevant to do just, you know, it's the Rockies?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Lawrence probably from a stuff standpoint is the best option here. I don't know. I mean, he's gotten roughed up in the spring. So if there is some sort, if there really is a competition between him and Tyler Kinley, I think Kinley's probably winning it right now. But that being said, I don't think Tyler Kinley's not really a closer either. It's not really worth talking about too much. I think it's just, you know, unless you're in like a 16 team or if it's like a draft and hold and you just want to throw a dart at someone, maybe I don't know. It's just not a situation. Hopefully, I hope someone else kind of, you know, comes from out of nowhere here and ends up being an interesting reliever, because it's not the fun. It's not a fun group to talk about at the moment, really. It's,
yeah. Yeah, I think you nailed it. The other teams here, a lot more interesting situations. So let's move to the Dodgers, and I'll toss this out there. I don't think we mentioned this before. The talent that they have there in their bullpen right now, it doesn't even include Blake Treinen or Gratterall, who are both hurt and who also could be in the mix when healthy for save chances. So do you think Evan Phillips moves through the season and can hit 25, 30 saves, or will it be split among, you know, a handful of people?
I like Phillips, and I do think that he will lead the team in saves, and it's really just a matter of how they're deployed. But they have so many arms and so much depth and such the ability to give him days off, and they did do that last year. So, you know, he's not going to lead the league in saves by any stretch. He probably is going to have a great ERA, great whip, maybe suppressed number of innings. But I really think he's rock solid as a closer and really like his skill set. Let me throw out another name for the Dodgers that found his way into their bullpen all of a sudden is Kyle Hurt. I think Kyle Hurt could very quickly move up that depth chart and be a force, because he seems outstanding to me, especially, you know, in relief. So, you know, Gratterall. I mean, they have guys in Vesia and even Joe Kelly is a pretty good skill set. But I'm really keeping an eye on Kyle Hurt. I would love to see him do his thing in bullpen and see how that turns out, because he does seem like a force to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting – it's a good name that I don't – you know, hopefully he does stay in the bullpen. I think, you know, you look at that rotation and even some of the prospect arms they have, it's probably going to be hard for Hurt to get into the rotation consistently. So, yeah, the bullpen might be the best spot for him. And, between his, you know, fastball changeup combo, I mean, there's a really good good reliever potentially here. So I would love to see him stick in the bullpen. I would imagine once Treinen and Gratterall return, he probably gets sent down. But that doesn't mean, you know, if the Dodgers, they're always, you know, moving arms up and down. And will definitely not be the last time we see Hurt out of their bullpen. So, yeah, I think as far as Phillips goes, it's, you know, this Dodgers team probably going to win 100 games again. But it's just the way they win games. Like, he didn't have a ton of save chances for a team that won so many games last year. It's because they win a lot of games by a lot. And, you know, it's hard to predict, you know, stuff like that. But I wonder if, you know, I hope Phillips can get to the 30 save mark. I feel like even if he doesn't, his value right now, his, you know, where he's going in drafts, he's still gonna probably exceed that that draft status. So yeah, Phillips is another one of my favorite, you know, later mid round, you know, mid closers, between, you know, Helsley and Scott, those three. So yeah, I'm big on Phillips. Hopefully, you know, this bullpen can stay healthy and, you know, help get the ball to him.
So another team we talked about then, and the rival in the NL West, probably between these two teams, the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. We mentioned Suarez at the top, Robert Suarez. But how entrenched do you feel he is? And then I know Matsui looked good early, had a couple of nice strikeouts, but do you think he has a chance to catch Suarez? What else do you feel, Doug, about the Padres bullpen here?
Well, I think Matsui projects to be the best skills reliever, but I do think that they're a team that likes to have that highest leverage reliever, and he's left-handed. So I'm not sure that being the best skill set necessarily translates to being the closer in time the way it does with other bullpens. And if Suarez can keep doing what he did today, you know, then he'll stay there. Mm-hmm. Suarez fails, then they have to cast around and find, well, who's going to be our guy? And if so, if Suarez fails, they may end up sticking Matsui in there for lack of something better. It really depends mostly then on what Suarez does in the role. And so, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out. I think Suarez is kind of shaky from a skill standpoint. I don't know that he'll be able to hold it all season, much less, you know, even for the first half. But we have to see. We have to see how he does and how it goes. I've seen much worse skill sets hold on to the closer role all year. It's not like he can't do it. But if he falters, then it's going to be Matsui. And if he doesn't falter, then they're just going to be very comfortable with the roles that they have.
Yeah, I mean, Suarez had a nice rookie season. Obviously, not a traditional career. I think he was maybe 32 years old, early 30s after playing, you know, abroad. But then the injury, and he kind of came back for the end of last year. So interesting situation. You think the Padres will probably win a lot of games, so there'll be save chances there. So we'll have to see what happens. But Rick, last but not least here, the San Francisco Giants. We, of course, have the Rodgers brothers. What are you thinking about the Giants situation this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's Camilo Duvall at the top, and he's pretty much as safe as any other closer, you know, out there is. I don't know if he's really elite yet, but he is definitely, you know, a top, you know, two-tier closer, two or three-tier closer. The Rodgers brothers, I think, again, that's a pretty solid setup group. Taylor Rodgers really struggled at the beginning of last year. I think the pitch clock, he was one of the bigger, you know, one of the guys that had the bigger issues with the pitch clock, and he figured it out, turned around the season, had a pretty decent second half. Luke Jackson's another interesting name. After that, it gets a little bit dicier. But yeah, this is a team, and you talked about Blake Snell, and you know, if you do, you know, say come August, and all of a sudden Jordan Hicks is also in this bullpen, that really lengthens things out here. Gives them another solid setup option. But yeah, right now it's, you know, it's Duvall, and I do think Tyler Rogers, I'm not a huge fan. He's, you know, I like to see upside and strikeouts when I'm chasing relievers and holds leagues, but you know, Tyler Rogers is probably, you know, you could probably pencil him in for 20, 25 holds again, because, you know, he's one of the more consistent setup guys in baseball right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I had him a couple years ago, and he was good for the holds situations. Yeah. And I always get those two guys confused, understandably so. What about Luke Jackson you mentioned? Semi-interesting, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he did have some closer experience when he was in Atlanta a few years back. good breaking ball. It does get swings and misses. He's a little bit, yeah, I think from a, you know, he's different from the Rogers brothers. I think he gives him a different look from, you know, his arm, from where he's pitching, where, you know, Rogers is coming from a submarine angle, and Duvall even has a kind of a funky, you know, sidearm delivery. So, you know, Jackson's more of your prototypical, you know, over the top righty, but I like him as a setup guy or as a holds guy, not, you know, not a top, you know, 30 or 40 holds guy, but he's in the mix there. You know, if anything happens with the Rogers brothers. So yeah, I like Jackson. But then, yeah, it gets thin really quickly after him. So it's going to, and this is the Giants team that really, you know, had to rely on relievers last year. They, you know, I think they led the league in relief innings pitched. So with this bullpen as it is right now, I don't know if they can afford to do that and also compete. So hopefully their starters give them some more length. You know, it's not exactly, you know, something Blake Snell excels in, or, you know, Jordan Hicks. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jordan Hicks is going to be giving them seven innings. So, you know, it's Logan Webb and then a bunch of guys probably going to give you five innings. So this bullpen's going to be counted on a lot again this year.
Well, there you have it. That is the In the Pen NL bullpen preview. So we went through team by team. And if you listen back to this episode, definitely some guys you want to keep an eye on as you're planning out your drafts. Probably most of your teams are set, but if you still have some fantasy teams to figure out, we hopefully gave you some insights today. And we, of course, want to thank Doug Dennis from Baseball HQ for joining us. Thanks a lot, Doug. It was great to have you on the show tonight.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. I love hanging and talking with you guys, and I always enjoy talking about relievers anyway.
You have anything exciting coming up this season over on Baseball HQ or any other projects you're working on?
Other than my weekly column, I mean, I'm on Twitter probably far too much, my wife would say. Yeah, I mean, other than that, no, I mean, I just do what I do, same as every other year, but nothing additional.
Well, we appreciate your angles and your insights. And Rick, thank you for inviting me to join. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Nate, for, you know, filling in today. You know, had a lot of fun talking NL bullpens. Doug, again, you know, thank you so much for coming on. This was a fun time. Yeah, thanks for both of you guys filling in today.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I had a lot of fun myself, and hopefully the listeners did too. This has been In the Pen, a Pitcherless Podcast Network member and a proud pod.
Spread the word. When you get a fresh hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.